on the air here at Tillosh. Hello there. The people on the way to Egger, Levy and friends, are you all there?
We are.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yes, is that Robert?
That is.
Okay, so fitting track to bring Robert in. That was Mission Impossible by the James Taylor Quartet. How are you today, Robert?
Finally well rested after a busy couple of days.
So Robert Horovitz and Tillosh have a connection. But would you like to introduce yourself, Robert, and tell us what brought you to the Light Symposium conference?
Okay. And I must tell you how thrilled I am to talk to you, Beata, and how much I'm enjoying the show. I go back with Tillosh to very early days. After we spoke yesterday, I remembered that I first met the people involved in creating Tillosh in 1992, I think it was.
Wow.
And my main contact back then was a young poet and translator named Shady Andrash. Pardon my pronunciation.
Shady Andrash, yes.
Yes, right. I spoke with him about the station. At that time, Tillosh was only... Well, it was completely illegal to broadcast at that time in Hungary. And Tillosh was only able to sign on the air maybe once a week, once a month, or whatever.
That's right.
With a very tiny transmitter, like a 10-watt transmitter. And they built these things themselves, and they were confiscated by the police almost, you know, every week. So they were throwaways, basically.
Yeah.
You know, they built them cheap and in large quantity so that they could lose them and not be
yes,
put off the air for too long. But anyway, they were a really beautiful project, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working for George Soros at that time. I was one of the people that ran his electronic media program back in the 1990s.
Right.
All over the region. I lived in Prague, and I was working in... Initially, I was working in Central Europe, and that brought me to Hungary and to Poland and Slovakia. And then as those countries got their act together, I went on to work in the harder cases, the Balkan countries, Yugoslavia, Romania, Bulgaria, Albania, and then Central Asia, basically trying to get new radio stations on the air. And I did that kind of work for 5 years. And we talked about this yesterday, and I'll just stop with that part of it and go back to Tillosh.
Okay.
When the new media law was written by the parliament,
disaster.
I bought. No, this is the first one in the 1990s.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I decided to buy a transmitter, a real professional transmitter for Tillosh, because they wanted it, they needed it, and it was unfortunately. A project that began before they were actually licensed. So after this decision to give them a transmitter, the Hungarian parliament investigated the Soros Foundation for engaging in support of illegal activities because of what I had done by buying them a transmitter. They weren't using it at the time. They just had it.
Was that the Fidesz regime already?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it would
well,
be,
well,
wouldn't
I,
it?
You know, I can't say that they were running the government. Hmm. They were in parliament, and they were
right.
The Young Democrats at the time, so they were very much a reform party. And the media committee in parliament was controlled by them. I don't know that they were forming the whole government. I really don't remember that.
Hmm. So what was the upshot of...
Well, the upshot of it was that George Soros came to Prague to tell me that the foundation was being investigated for supporting illegal activity because what I had done. And I thought, oh no, there goes my job, you know, I'm going to get fired here. But in fact, he was very amused by what I had done. And I think in the end, he actually saw it as an opportunity to make a change in the law. So a few months later, Parliament amended the broadcasting law to create that little slice of frequencies that allowed nonprofit radios to come on the air at low power, to essentially legalize stations like Telos. And they applied for a license and got it. And that's how they came on the air. So it was my bad judgment that provoked the reform that made it possible for them to do it right.
Crazy times.
Yeah. So it's great to, you know, to know that you're still going, and that I thought last year that, you know, when Telos lost their license, that would be the end.
No
way. And I was
really
happy to learn. Really happy to learn from you that, you know, they came back on.
Oh, yes. It was actually very quickly that we did get the license back, and we all had a feeling that would happen because Telos has grown so big now. Also, with the help of the internet, one has to say, because, of course, people can listen to it worldwide 24/7 now. So big up to everyone listening in and outside of Hungary. Yes, and we do have so many lovely supporters that come to parties and give us their 1% tax, and, you know, really, it's amazing. It's amazing. And all I can say is that I hope it does stay the way that it is, because there's always people that want to commercialise it, you know? But, yeah.
It's a beautiful in fact, it just interrupted. It's a beautiful example of how you can use the internet and broadcasting in the traditional sense to help each other. You know, it's not like they're rivals or alternatives, or that the internet is going to kill radio. I mean, it could, but Telos is a good example of how you can do both. And it's not only Telos. The same thing happened in Serbia. I was helping Radio B92 at the same time I was working with Telos.
Oh, yeah, brilliant.
And
we worked together with them, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And they were able to use the internet to reach a much larger audience, because they never got a license ever until Milosevic was out of power.
Obviously, yeah.
But because they had an internet connection to Amsterdam, they were able to distribute first the recordings, and then first their scripts, and then their recordings to all the Serbs that were outside the country. And that was great, you know, that they were able. I mean, because they had at the, you know, for most of their early years, they reached about a half a kilometer in their signal. So unless you happen to be shopping, like in the very center of Serbia, you couldn't hear them at all.
Yeah, and we actually gave them time on Telos Radio during the war times, you know, when they were continually being taken off the air in whatever capacity they were trying. Yeah.
Right.
And can I ask you what you were doing at the conference?
Ah, well, I was maybe one of the few people at the conference who actually met Georgi Kepes. I was a young artist who just graduated from university, and I started going up to MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, to sit in on these seminars on communications policy that were very novel kind of exploration publicly of, you know, key decisions that were being discussed in updating the media. And just, you know, one time when I was on campus, I just walked into his building and knocked on his door, and he was sitting there alone, and he invited me in, and we talked for an hour. And then a few years later, I was hired by MIT to teach contemporary art in the same school that Kepesh had taught in, the architecture school. And so I worked at MIT in I guess the decade after he retired. So I was up talking about MIT in the 70s and 80s and memories of Kepesh. And that was it. I'm not a media artist in the sense that I do, you know, light works or, you know, things like flashing lights and, you know, weird sounds and stuff like that. I never did that kind of stuff.
Right. What was he like, Kepesh, as a person?
Well, he was very, very intellectual, very serious, and not at all your kind of hippie artist. And I think that enabled him to survive at MIT, which was really a, you know, a techno-scientific university.
Yeah.
If he had been a more typical artist, I think they would have thrown him out pretty rapidly.
Oh, no.
But because he was such an intellectual and he had all these really ambitious ideas of networking artists and scientists and publishing brilliant books, that he had a lot of credibility at the Institute. But as a person, in person, I found him, frankly, a bit cold. He was really so serious that you know, unless you were on his wavelength, it was just very difficult to penetrate his shell.
Right.
That was my feeling.
Yeah.
You know? But as I said, I think he had to be that way to survive and do as much as he did.
Yeah, he really did such a lot during his life. So, Robert, it's been lovely talking to you. And hopefully see you later when you return from again.
I'll become a listener again, and I'll hand off the microphone to someone else.
Brilliant. Well, you're welcome at Tilosh anytime.
Hey, let's keep in touch.
For sure.
Okay.
And, let's speak to some of the artists. So,
who do you want to talk to?
Carolina and Alex.
I'll pass the microphone back to Carolina.
Okay, thank you, Robert.
Sure, bye-bye.
Robert Horowitz.